Daniel chapter 1. Daniel chapter 1. Thank God for the Bible. I need something that's true. Tested, tried, and triumphant. Amen. The B-I-B-L-E. Yes, that's the book for me. I stand alone. Somebody say alone. The Bible can't be one of your options. It's your only option. On the word of God, the B-I-B-L-E. I believe the Bible because I believe God. Daniel chapter 1. Verse 17, as for these four children. Let's say that phrase together. As for these four children. What group are you trying to be in? Don't pick it by the numbers. Christianity is not the lotto. You can't go with the numbers. You got to go with the truth. God gave them knowledge, skill, and all learning and wisdom. Daniel had understanding in all visions and dreams. That's an interesting statement there. And at the end of the days that the king had said he should bring them in, the prince of eunuchs brought them in before Nebuchadnezzar. And the king communed with them, and among them all was found none like Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. Therefore stood they before the king. And in how many matters? All right, you're reading your Bible there. Don't take my word for it, right? And in all matters of wisdom, raise your hand if you need wisdom. And if you didn't raise your hand because you didn't have enough wisdom to raise your hand, you need wisdom. Preach faster. And understand. By the way, take that sign down in the hallway. My soul. I didn't come in that way, but my wife sent me a picture of it. I text back, eye roll, and the words embarrassing. So, my soul. And in all matters of wisdom and understanding. Whoever put that up there needs some wisdom and understanding. That the king inquired of them. He found them. Next three words, say it with me. 10 times. Then all the magicians and astrologers that were in all his realm. And Daniel continued even unto the first year of King Cyrus. I promise you we're going to get out of this chapter today. We'll stay there as long as we need to, right? Helping us. Let the church say amen. Father, add thy blessing to the reading of your word. Cleanse me of sin, empty me of self, and fill me with your spirit, I pray. Do a great work. We have already sensed your presence in this place. We don't take it for granted, but we do thank you for it. Now bless us now in the preached word and our reception of it. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. Thank you for standing. The clash. The clash between culture and Christianity. We wish it wouldn't clash, but that's a wish that's not going to come true until Jesus establishes his kingdom that will have no end. It's an intense clash. It is because one is led by one force and the other is led by another force. One is often changing. One is fickle. One is bent towards shiftiness. One is geared towards man's opinions, man's feelings, fads and trends, status quos and paradigms. None of them are established forever. The other is built on a person. Okay, culture is built on things and ideas and philosophies that change. Christianity is built on a person. And by the way, not just any person, but an unchanging person, a sinless person, a perfect person. It is built and established on the character of Christ. And as changeless as Jesus is, so Christianity is. So we've watched Daniel and company experiencing this clash, the same clash that began the moment sin entered into the world, the clash that Noah experienced, the clash that Gideon experienced, the clash that Abraham experienced, the clash that Lot experienced that vexed his spirit every single day. Has it ever crossed your mind how a man could preach for 120 years like Noah and not get anybody but his family to listen to him? I'll explain it to you. The clash. The clash. The clash. The clash between Jacob and Esau. The clash between Jacob and Jacob. Getting past himself. Because the clash, the culture will teach you to believe you. Christianity will teach you that in you dwelleth no good thing. The clash. The clash that the nation of Israel experienced and failed by compromising and adapting to culture. When you go into Canaan, don't be like the Canaanites. And they started worshiping their gods and copying their practices. And they wanted a king like other people wanted kings. Be careful when you're trying to keep up with culture instead of keeping up with Christ. Amen there. And so the challenging placement for Daniel and company, the cultivated preparation. God gave them what they needed to make it. They had learned in Judah. And I imagine when they got to Babylon, they appreciated Judah more. Boy, everything mom and daddy taught us there, I didn't realize how much I'd need it when I got here. Listen to me. You better thank God you got an hour and a half or so to come to church. Somebody say amen. You better thank God. Say, we got the live stream on Sunday night. Now, that's only about 25, 30 minutes. You better cherish them 25, 30 minutes. Yeah, eat your food afterwards. Do your stuff when you finish. You better take in them 25, 30 minutes. You may not know how bad you're going to need it on Monday morning. Come on now. You may not know how bad you're going to need it a month from now. Boy, you ever got to a test and said, I wish I studied that part? Everything on the test is what you didn't study. Everything you studied ain't on the test. That's why you need to be in a church that preaches the whole counsel of the Word of God. You can't just get up here and get you shouting about how good God is, and He is good. We got to teach you the truth, amen? Because you go out and live in this crazy world that is experiencing, that is exposing you to this clash. And so the compelling proposition, here it is. We're going to prove to you that we're different than you. Eat this meat, drink this wine. The convicting purpose, He purposed in His heart, we will not. It starts with a decision, but the decision must be maintained. The committed process for 3 years, they're going to have to maintain this position, maintain this purpose, discipline, regularity. When everybody's eating, everybody's drinking, they've got to say no. How many of you have learned that in the Christian life, saying no is not easy? It's not easy. It's not easy. And the devil will up the odds and he will make stuff look good. I mean, pulse, something that is sown, something dry and bland seemingly, perhaps beans every day for 3 years while your counterparts are eating steak and drinking the wine. How savory it must look, how captivating it must look. It's easy, Psalm 73, to be envious of the wicked. Anybody listening today? I was reading in my Bible reading this morning, to fret not because of the evildoers. You see, when evil seems to reign, sometimes the child of God gets jealous of it. Why am I not getting ahead like they're getting ahead? Why am I struggling when they seem to be progressing? How are they getting away with it? Why am I getting picked on? Listen to me. You got to read the whole story. Come on now. Come on now. Listen to me. Barabbas got released and Jesus got crucified. I said Barabbas was guilty and got set free. Jesus was innocent and got crucified. But aren't you glad the story doesn't end on the cross? Come on, I need a little bit more than that. I said, the story doesn't end on the cross. See, truth is going to march on. Justice will reign. God's will be accomplished. That's why faith without works is dead. That's why we must believe that God is. Amen. That God is what? That God is, period. Hebrews chapter 11 is not telling you what God is. It's telling you that God is. You must believe that God exists. As long as He exists, His will is going to be accomplished. It's up to Him how He does it. I don't need to know how He does it. I just need to know who's doing it. You must believe that He is. So this committed process we saw last week, and then the convincing product is where we're going to finish up this week. The convincing product. Last week I introduced you to what I wanted you to ponder, called the expected analysis. Verse 17 asks for these four children. Remember, 10 days. In 10 days it proved God's way works. I said, in 10 days, you could tell God was right. I know. Somebody, see, if we're not careful, we will make the Christian life too complicated. See, the Christian life is not one big decision that you make. The Christian life is a culmination of a bunch of little decisions. Okay, you're not going to get up one day and decide, I've decided to follow Jesus, and hit it out the park with the bases loaded, make a home run, everybody's going to give you five, your picture's going to be all over the newspapers and the sports section about how great you were, and you're going to be going to go to the Hall of Fame and never have to do anything. No. The Christian life is getting up every day and living for God. Getting up every day and living. How long does it take to prove God's right? Get up tomorrow morning, read the Bible one day. I guarantee after one day you can tell God's right. Get up and do it the next day. Does it get better with time? Sure. Sure it does. But I'm going to tell you, every day I read the Bible, I can tell God's right. Early this morning, I could tell God was right. 4 something in the morning, I knew God was right. I started reading God's word. It was like he knew exactly what he needed to say and what I needed to hear. Have you ever gotten surprised at God and then said, I shouldn't be surprised? Yes, you should. Because his ways are above your ways. His thoughts are above our. What manner of man is this? For he commanded the wind and the water, and they obey him. By the time he calmed the raging storm, they'd already seen him do miracles. Why should they have been surprised? He turned the water into wine. He restored the withered hand. Should they have been? Yeah. But we're human. Listen to me. Even though we experience God, we're still human. And every day, it's the astonishment of God that gives us anticipation of God. See, if you're not surprised, you won't be looking for him. See, a God that surprises you, you're always looking for him. I know he's somewhere. I'm just waiting to see what he's going to do. You know where I'm living? I'm living in anticipation of God. I'm just waiting to see what God's going to do next because he keeps surprising me. Amen? Expected analysis. So they're going to analyze them. Now, at the end of the days, 18, he should bring them in. People are going to bring you in. They may not pull you in, but they're checking you out. They're watching you. They're watching you. They're watching you. That's the analysis. Now, what is the extraordinary answer to the analysis? Then the prince of the eunuchs brought them in before Nebuchadnezzar. And the king communed with them, and among them all was found none like Daniel, Ananias, Azariah, Mishael, and Azariah. What do you mean, Pastor? The analysis must bring forth an answer. God's people will always be tested. Let me say that again. I said God's people will always be tested. Now listen, you skip class on the day of the test, but eventually you got to take it. You got to take it. And with God, you can skip the class where the test is, but God will bring the test to you. And you're going to be evaluated. You're going to be analyzed. Listen to what Job said. When he hath tried me. Come on, let's say that together. When he hath tried. This time when you say he, point up to God. When he hath tried me. One more time. When he. Now, people are analyzing you, but God is testing you. Preach, Pastor. People are analyzing you, but God is testing you. So really what it boils down to this. God is doing the testing. They're just watching. They're watching. So it's bigger than what they're trying to do. It's about what God's trying to do. He's testing you. And what are the answers on the test for these 4 boys? There was found none like them. Listen to me. Here's the answer that Christians should be giving to the test. There's nobody like Jesus, so therefore there's nobody like us. Let's say it together. There's nobody like Jesus, so therefore there's nobody like us. Now listen to me. Well, I'm not Jesus. No, but he's in you. But I'm not perfect. No. But a perfect God is in you. I'm not sinless. No, but a sinless God came to live in you. That's why he had to come to earth. Be tempted at all points, yet without sin. Yes, he had to come. And he is the propitiation for our sins. He satisfies the wrath of Almighty God, not for our sins only, but for the sins of the world. Listen, what did Paul say? The hope that is in you, Christ in you, the hope of glory. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away, but all things are become new. Now watch this now. When I get saved, I'm in Christ. But the reason why I'm saved is not just because I'm in Christ. That's my position. But he's in me personally. Aren't you glad he's in you? Aren't you glad he's in you? So what does the Bible tell us about his being in me? Greater is he that is. Come on now. Greater is he that is than he that is in the world. So if he's in me, Romans chapter 8. In all these things, we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. Romans chapter 8. How do I act? Romans chapter 7. How do I act when I'm on my own? Paul said, things I want to do, I don't do. Things I do want to do. Things I want to do, I don't do. Things I don't want to do, I do. Things I disapprove of, I do anyway. Come on, act like you don't know what I'm talking about. You ever do what you said you weren't going to do? You ever want to do something, can't seem to do it? You ever said, I disagree with that, and next thing you know, you're doing what you disagree with yourself? Romans chapter 7, that's the Christian life lived in the flesh. Romans chapter 8, the Christian life lived in the spirit. I say this all the time. Romans chapter 7 is such a dismal chapter because the Holy Spirit of God has never mentioned the whole chapter. And your life without the Spirit of God working in you is dismal too. Romans chapter 8, the Spirit shows up. There's no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. Amen. Romans chapter 8, verse 9. You have not the Spirit of God, you are none of his. Somebody say amen. Romans chapter 8, we're more than conquerors through him that loved us. Romans chapter 8, if God be for us, who can be against us? Romans chapter 8, who is he that condemneth? It is God that justifieth. Romans chapter 8, God sanctified, God glorified. Romans chapter 8, who shall separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus? Amen. Thank God for the Spirit that showed up. Shall tribulation, shall distress, shall peril, shall famine, shall nakedness, and the sore, nay, and all these things were more than conquerors. I am persuaded. Neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus. Listen, we have what we need. Put your glasses down and stop looking for what you need. Stop dialing it up and asking somebody and finding out, I just need some. You have what you need. Christ is in you. He's the hope of glory. Amen. So this is the answer. The test must provide answers. And ladies and gentlemen, everything in us to answer the questions correctly is there. The question is, will we lean on the person of the Lord Jesus Christ who is in us? Now, this is a different dispensation in the book of Daniel. The Holy Spirit did not live in saints like he does now, but God gave them what they needed through his word, through the prophets, and through the principles. And aren't you glad in every generation God has given it what it needs to beat culture? So here's the inactive advancement. Here we go. Therefore stood they before the king. Now remember, they had to be tested to see if they could stand before the king. This training was to equip these children, if you would. One theologian said maybe between 16 and 21. Stripped from home, stripped from family, stripped from familiarity, stripped from their land, brought to this Babylon. This training, this 3-year training involving the steak and the wine, or the meat and the wine, and all of the preparation was intended to give these children the training they needed to be able to stand before the king. They needed to achieve an elite status. And here's what Nebuchadnezzar was contending. You can't be who you're supposed to be unless you do it my way. This is the timeless contention of culture. You must adapt to us to be successful. You must think like us. You must believe what we believe. You must embrace. Come on, folks. This is the agenda of the world. This is. And by the way, if you don't accept it, then you're weird. You're wrong. You're crazy. You're intolerant. So the world wants to rewrite marriage and the world wants to rewrite morals. And if we don't agree with it, we're not like God. So now what people do, they dismiss God. They rewrite the Bible. Someone sent me an article last night about now evangelicals are trying to find a way, a redefinition of themselves in this post era. So now people that used to be in church are leaving churches and they're starting all kinds of churches that tolerate immorality and same-sex marriage and profanity. And now you got preachers in articles cussing. The best way to do what you want to do is to throw out the rule book. Preach, pastor. The best way to do what you want to do is to throw out the rule book. Throw out the rule book. And let me tell you something. You can't throw out the rule book because you can't throw out God. And you can't throw out God because God is in control and he knows what he's doing. So this is what people are trying to do. They're trying to throw out the rule book and they're trying to eliminate God. The best way to do what you want to do is to say there is no God, to say that God has no rules. Let me tell you something. You can say it, but that don't make it right. And there's an agenda. There's an agenda. And by the way, the agenda is often successful even among believers. Listen to me. You get doing the wrong thing and you'll start questioning everything is right. I think I got a few witnesses in now. But here's what Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, I feel like I shouldn't call them that. Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. I'm going to make a practice of calling them their God names and not their Babylonian names. Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. The thought just came to me. Why is it that we call them Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, but we keep calling Daniel, Daniel? We just don't know what we're doing, all right? So let's do it one, go all the way the right way. Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. They proved we can still get to where we need to get without doing it the world's way. Preach, come on now. come on, you're being pushed. You're being pushed to move. You're being pushed to move, to move the goalpost, to move the line, to change what you stand. Parent, don't do it God's way. Marriage, don't do it God's way. Worker, don't do it God's way. Teenager, don't do it God's way. It won't, you'll be so left out. You'll miss out on so much. You tell me what Daniel and the boys missed out on. Don't let the devil make you think living for God makes you miss out on stuff. Well, poor Daniel, for 3 years, he had to eat that pulse and drink that wine. It's a poor thing. It's bad for his morale to have to do that for 3 years. That's what the world says. Let's take 10 kids, put them all out on the basketball court, and 3 of them do real well, and 7 of them do terrible, but let's give all 10 a participation trophy. No. And if you give all 10 a participation trophy, you better give the 3 of them that did good a do good trophy. Otherwise, you're going to teach the other 7 that you can do lousy and still get rewarded for it. Yeah, but we don't want the 7 to feel bad about doing bad. Yes, we do. Why? Because in 10 years, he's going to go to work. And your boss is going to say, if you didn't perform right, you're not going to get promoted. And if you keep not getting promoted, you're going to get fired. And if you get fired, you're going to be broke. And if you can get broke, you're going to sit at home in the dark. But why are you doing that to me? My coach told me that all I had to do was participate. Your coach lied to you. So if we look at Daniel from a worldly perspective, this is not therapeutic to put Daniel in Babylon and make him have to say no while everybody else says yes. You're going to destroy his self-esteem. And watch this now. It's not fair. You got to give up too much to be a Christian. It's not fair. Doing right and saying the morals that the Bible says and not agreeing with the world, it's just not fair. Let me tell you something. Let's just do the comparison game. Now watch this now. Give up meat and wine for 3 years. Huge sacrifice. Poor Daniel. Well, what did Daniel get back for giving up meat and wine for 3 years? Verse 17, understanding in visions and dreams. I reckon. Can I say that this morning? I reckon it's just crossed afternoon. I reckon that God always gives us back more than we gave up. So you're doing the test, right? Let's check out all these cheering. Let's check out all the cheering that ate the meat and drank the wine. Find me one of them. Find me one of them that has understanding and visions and dreams. In chapter number 2, we're going to find out they're so bad at interpreting the dreams that Nebuchadnezzar is ready to kill all of them because they can't answer. And Daniel steps up and saves the bad guys' lives by doing right. I'm trying to get somebody to hang on in chapter 1 to get to chapter number 2. Come on, hang on, beloved. Yeah, and as soon as you get the victory in chapter 2, hang on, because here comes a target in chapter 3. But hang on at the end of chapter 3. Don't let me get there. I'm going to get there. Preach there when I get there. But y'all done already read it. So say amen, because you know what happened. Enacted advancement. They were able to stand before the king. And then I'll close with this. Exclusive actuality. 10 times better. Wow. And by the way, not just better than all the children. That would have been an accomplishment in and of itself. But it says better than all the magicians and astrologers. You're not just better than your peers. You're better than your superiors. And then the enduring allowance, verse 21. Daniel continued even. See, listen to me, folks. When you stand for Christianity in the clash between culture, it provides you the chance to continue. I wrote this down because I was worried I'd forget it if I didn't. Had these 4 children compromised or conceded, they would have merged into oblivion and thereby missed their opportunities. Let me say that again. Compromise and concession will cause you to merge into oblivion and thereby miss your opportunity. Ladies and gentlemen, it is your stand that you take for God that gives you a chance to do something before other people for God's glory. So what if Daniel and the boys never said no? We wouldn't have a book of Daniel. It'd be a book of somebody else. They would have never made it in Daniel chapter 3. It has always been our distinction that enables us to make a difference. So you cannot make a difference unless you are different. I wrote this down. You cannot make a difference unless you are different. I wrote this down also. The world is just as aware of the clash between us and them. They know we clash. The difference is they just don't know our Christ. You listening to me? They know there's something different about us. They just don't know the difference maker. You got to live him long enough so they can want to get to know him. Here's the deal, though. The more you do right, the more you will get done wrong. The more you do right, the more you will get done wrong. That didn't just happen recently. That's how it's always been. Which brother got killed, Cain or Abel? Abel. Noah, ridicule. Naboth wouldn't sell. And there he was. Ahab wiped him out. Elijah threatened. David anointed, running from his own throne. But didn't God come through? I was thinking, looking back over life, I think the longer you live, and I'm not old, that'd be a good time to say amen. But we're all getting older. And with age comes retrospect. And I look back. And I remember I got saved at 4 and I started to preach at 9. And I got burdened at 16 and immersed in Bailey's Crossroads. And you know, you can't walk into a rec center that you know needs the Lord and walk in the middle of the basketball court while everybody's playing, stop the game, and start preaching a message. You can, but it will be a very short message. Because there's a real mean lady that works there named Sharon Hargrove is going to throw you out. No, I'm just kidding. There's a bunch of people going to say, I know you ain't stopping our game to preach. But wait a minute now. They needed the message. I just said they needed the message. But I couldn't walk in there and start preaching a message. I had to live one. And I didn't understand all of that. But I knew God gave me a burden. So you got to play ball long enough. Let's find out if you cuss when you get fouled. You cheat when you get a chance to. Let's find out what radio station the car is on when we ride to McDonald's afterwards. See, they needed the message, but it wasn't the one I would say on the court. It was the one I would live in the car. And I'm just not bragging on me. It's what God was teaching me. That's years and years ago. But it opened the door for opportunities to get people to church. And some of them are still in church. And even if they're not, they know what they learned. Fast forward some 25 more years later. Now we're doing funerals for people in this community because of the testimony of this church for all these years. Here's what I'm trying to tell you. If you compromise, you merge into oblivion and miss the opportunity. I just want to say it loud and clear. I don't regret one sacrifice I've ever made for God. I regret a lot of things, but not sacrifices for God. And if you're being pulled or pushed by the devil, by your flesh, by the world, to give in, read Daniel chapter 1. Hey, look, God won in Daniel 1, and God will win now. Mark my words, church, God is going to win. So, Pastor, what am I supposed to do every day with this clash? Simplify your Christian life. Don't get up tomorrow morning and try to figure out how to solve the world and fix every problem and change everybody. How good have you been at changing people? By the way, is it cold in here? It's cold. It's cold. I'm freezing. Well, we're about to finish, so we have made it this long. Kept you awake. Oh, man. See, now I went off on something then. Simplify the Christian life. Don't get up tomorrow and try to figure out how to fix everything and change everybody and how to make the world right. You can't do it. Get up tomorrow morning and figure out what you're supposed to do right. Read your Bible and pray. Oh, that ain't much. Oh, that's a big deal. Do right. Practice what you've been taught. Do right. Do right. What does it do? What did it do for Daniel? It moved God to action. The problem is the clash in culture has knocked us off our base sometimes. We stop doing right, and thereby we limit God Wednesday night. Let's not limit him. Amen. Let's continue to be faithful to him. Let the church say amen. Amen. Father, we love you and we bless your name. We magnify you. We thank you for being such a good, faithful, a gracious God. Heads bowed, eyes closed.